Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm so glad to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with advice and guidance that empowers you so you can make better financial decisions in your life. And we've talked a lot about something that is so annoying: junk fees being added to bills everywhere. I mean, you name it, where there are a variety of junk fees that just pop up. So California, nation's most populous state, has a new law going into effect in just a couple of months that will, in theory, end junk fees on anything. And because of the way the internet works, this may, in fact, happen all over the country with a lot of affected industries, even though the law is a California law. Later, H&R Block is in trouble with the feds for doing a bait and switch when you use them to prepare your taxes, allegedly. And I want you to be aware of what you need to look out for so you don't pay more than you intend or expect. And I'm also going to take your questions today, but obviously I can't get to the thousands of questions that are submitted every week in the midst of the podcast. And so it's wonderful that since 1993, we've had the ability for you to get one-on-one free advice and guidance from our Team Clark Consumer Action Center. You can see how to reach one of our team members at clark.com/CAC. So California sometimes is a false lead on where the country's going, and other times is a leading indicator that is accurate. And I believe that California passing a really strong anti-junk fee statute is where the country is moving. Just California passing an anti-junk fee thing should influence a lot of things, like when you go to buy tickets to a concert or a sports event or anything where, like, hotels with their crazy weirdo junk fees they're adding. And something that has popped up in a number of cities is also happening in California, where you go to a restaurant, you see the prices on the menu, you order your food, you enjoy it, and then the bill comes and you have instant indigestion because you add up the items you bought. They should be whatever, let's say $60. And then your bill before tax suddenly is $80. And you're like, what happened? Where'd the extra $20 come from? And it's because restaurateurs, with the food inflation we've had in the country, with food up basically almost 20% through the COVID cycle and labor costs up and all that, restaurant owners have been really pressured, and they didn't want the menus to look exorbitant. So they have all kinds of mystery fees that you're charged when you get your bill. I had this recently. I shared this with you last month. There was a fee for paying my bill at a restaurant. Didn't matter how I paid it. There was a fee added on for paying. Crazy, right? So the idea of this with any industry is that you know up front what it's going to cost. But I read something recently that is part of the behavioral economics field, that this whole junk fee phenomenon that has so taken hold in industry after industry really comes back to our consumer behavior. So weirdly, it's referred to as drip pricing, where you are told the price is this, and then later it's not that, it's that plus this. And I saw something in the New York Times about drip pricing, that one of the ticket resellers for sports and concerts had several years ago shown the full price with all the extraneous charges put in, and their sales went down. And then they went back to showing the lower price and then charging the junk fees, and their overall sales went way up again. That we as consumers really conspire against ourselves, where we like to think, oh, we're getting this for blah, blah, blah. And that's what we tell people. We paid this, that, or the other. And it's like, so we feel like we didn't spend so much money. We ignore the fact that we're paying all the junk fees. So I see the enemy, and it is me looking at me in the mirror. And so know that this is a trick we play on ourselves. You know, when you see something and then you go to check out and it shows it suddenly much more expensive, and be aware of that, that you are conspiring against your own wallet, and just say no. It's kind of like the thing I talked about the other day with people kind of being on strike about the higher prices in the grocery store, that people have reached their limit and beyond, and they see something and it's just too much money. They're not buying it now, or they're changing brands, or they're changing the type of item they're buying to get that grocery purchase under control. I'm asking you to go on strike when you look at buying something and suddenly the price is much higher. You know, I travel a lot, and I'm seeing this all the time now with hotels, where the cheapest hotel is not what it appears to be, because I'll see a really great deal on a hotel, and then you go to check out and suddenly it's so much higher, and it's because of all the mystery fees that are being added on to that rate. What I do is right then I go on strike. I don't buy that hotel. I go back and find one that's not charging me this fee, that fee, the other fee, and the breathing fee. It's up to you and me. Forget what California is doing or any other state might do or the federal government might do about junk fees. It's really you and me that have to stand up for our own wallet. Krista?
All right, we'll go to questions. This first one's from Michael in Florida. Using a browser extension from my bank, an icon is embedded within the online shopping sites indicating if a cost savings is available. This is either a coupon code or the same item from another site at a lower price. While it has worked great for years, I noticed a troubling change today. The icon indicates a savings available. However, it links to a preferred vendor with a higher price. Even after $4 in rewards credit, the final price is still higher than the original site. For me, this is another example of bait and switch, where a company allows us to get comfortable using a feature that is actually helpful and then changes how that feature functions over time while potentially spending more money instead of saving.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb. This is the problems with the Capital One shopping rewards.
Yes, they do name shop Capital One.
Okay, so I have a Capital One. I have the Capital One Venture X, and I no longer click on the, hey, we found these savings for you, because I have found that they degraded the quality of their shopping savings program that was really clean before, easy to use, and actually did save me money. And now it is almost like a shopper referral service, and I found that it's wasting my time, so I don't use it anymore. I need to delete the extension. You'll have to show me how to do that.
Okay.
But the way it poses it, it's like, Clark, you want to be a complete idiot? Say no to the savings. You know, it's got this thing. Yes, I want the savings. No, I don't. And I just, every time I click, no, I don't, so it'll go away. I wish they hadn't messed theirs up. It's kind of like the complaints we had about the Citibank with the double cash, how they really messed up that program and made it much more difficult for the customer. I always call that the curse of the MBAs, that it's like these people have to justify their credential of having an MBA. Let's see how we can make something that's really customer friendly and easy to use, make it difficult to use, and break our trust with the customer. We're going to do all this all at once.
Well, to be fair, you have an MBA and we don't do that at ClarkDeals.com.
We don't, but maybe I got my MBA so long ago, since I was 1977, that maybe all that MBA brainwashing left my skull by now.
Just not in your DNA.
Yeah.
Okay, Caroline in Colorado says, Clark, isn't it relatively easy to get out of a Medicare Advantage plan and return to original Medicare? Just move out of the service area, they cancel you, and then you can get into a supplemental policy and standard Medicare without any pre-existing or waiting periods. Am I missing something? You imply you can never get out of these plans without medical underwriting to enroll in a medical supplemental plan, but I don't think that's the case.
Your advice, Caroline, is right on the money. And this has come up before on the podcast, that the most radical way to get out of Hotel California, you know, get out of a Medicare Advantage plan that turns out to be a disadvantage plan and be able to go into original Medicare and get a supplement without having to go through medical underwriting, or go into a different Advantage plan without medical underwriting, is you actually have to move to a new geographical territory that, by geographical, means outside of the service area of that particular Medicare disadvantage plan, and then you can go back in. There are states that don't require the medical underwriting when you want to switch, but most states do. And this is what people who really need better care do, is they actually relocate.
Brandon in Other, so not no state listed. Last week, I bought a Google Nest smart thermostat. After purchasing, I found out that both my electric and natural gas utilities each offer a $50 rebate on this purchase. After submitting my application, I found other rebates on the electric utility site for all kinds of devices, air purifiers, washers, dryers, fridges, freezers, dishwashers, heating and cooling hardware, and even HVAC tune-ups. The rebates range from $15 to $650, depending on the advice. Come to find out, I'm eligible for even more in total. I'm hoping to get back about $190. Of note is that the equipment must be ENERGY STAR certified, which most new ones are anyway. I wanted to make sure all my fellow Clark fans have a chance to cash in as applicable. Thanks for your work.
So Brandon in the state of Other, I will tell you that I really appreciate you. This is exactly what being a member of Team Clark is all about, is helping your fellow listener and viewer. And yes, utilities all over the country, particularly regulated state monopoly utilities, are required to provide energy credits or cash back for you doing things that make your home more efficient. The purpose of this is, ironically enough, not to save energy, although that's the net effect. The purpose of subsidizing you for putting in energy improvements is for what's called peak demand load management, that during times of extreme cold weather, extreme hot weather, the demand for power goes way up, and those last kilowatts cost a ton. And so when they can get people to do different energy improvements on those really hot days in particular, it lowers overall demand for energy and eliminates a lot of those peak kilowatts that a utility has to buy. So you win as a homeowner by putting in the ENERGY STAR improvements. The utility owners, their stockholders benefit. It's a win-win all the way around. So yeah, always check to see if your utility offers any kind of ENERGY STAR rebates, and they're pretty common and usually pretty easy to get. Some of the utilities even have their own e-commerce sites that sell you the stuff with the rebate already built in, and you don't have to file any paperwork in those cases to get the rebate. Coming up ahead, it's bad enough you have to pay taxes, but worse, when preparing your taxes ends up being more expensive than you expected it to be. And I want to tell you about the bait and switch problem with tax preparation straight ahead.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Now, both of the big two software-based tax preparation have been cited by the feds for various bait-and-switch practices. I told you last month about complaints or allegations about TurboTax. Now I can add in H&R Block. Federal Trade Commission says that H&R Block is offering people tax prep at this price with software. And then you get into it and you start filling out different forms and say, oops, you don't qualify for that now. So you got to pay us more for tax prep. And if you bail, they wipe your data off. Again, these are allegations of the feds. All the data you've entered suddenly vanishes and you have to start from scratch doing your tax return when you refuse paying more for prep. So it brings me back for anyone who's not done, if you've not done your federal returns and if you have a state return in your state, you haven't done them yet, I want you to know that most taxpayers qualify under the IRS free file program for just what that says, free filing of federal taxes. And depending on the participating tax software you use, you may also get free preparation and filing for your state tax return. So you pay your tax, but you don't have to pay to prepare your tax returns and submit them. And to see what's available, just go to irs.gov. And you'll see the logo for free file. You click on it, and all the participating players offer, if you meet the income qualifications, again, which roughly two-thirds of taxpayers do, you're able to do your returns and file your federal lease for free. And then you'll see options that if you do live, unfortunately, in a state with a state income tax, you'll see the ones that also allow you to do your state income tax return for nothing. And as I shared back, I guess, in January, there are a handful of states, including the nation's most populous generally, that now offer the IRS direct file program where you can prepare and file your federal taxes directly with the feds without using a third-party intermediary for free. At this point, as best I know, we were the only developed country in the world that didn't offer a direct file program. It is something a lot of people don't trust because people don't trust the IRS and don't trust government in the U.S. If that's you, then use instead the free file program where you're using third-party private company tax prep and filing that is, in fact, again, for about two-thirds of taxpayers, free. As far as tax software, though, if your situation is complicated, you own your own business, you do a lot of side things, you have a complicated family situation, anything like that, you went through a marriage recently, you went through a divorce recently, if you have more income than the average bear, if you're in six figures income-wise, you probably want a human involved in doing your taxes, either an enrolled agent, that's someone who is a tax professional who is registered with the IRS, or you want to use a CPA who does tax, especially people who own their own company. You likely want to use a CPA who does tax. The effort you think you're saving by using tax prep software is not worth it because of the various credits, deductions, exemptions, and whatever you may be entitled to, particularly as a business owner, you very well will likely miss them using tax prep software instead of a trained professional. Krista?
This first question is from Lydia in Georgia. I co-signed on a home loan for my daughter. I know this is not something you ever recommend, but here I am. I found out when I tried to see what my husband and I pre-qualify for, because we're looking at homes for sale, that my daughter was late on some of her payments. This, of course, has brought my credit score down from around 800 to 630. I'm reaching out to see if there's a way to sign my portion of the home loan over to her to get my name off the loan. She's been going through a lot over the past several years and was not able to make her payments. She recently had her car repossessed, so she said she's not able to refinance right now. She suggested I refinance the house to take her off, thinking that would help repair my credit, but I wasn't sure what that would open my husband and I up to regarding taxes, capital gains, etc., or how or when I sell it back to her. She has a lot of equity in the house because we bought it really cheap. Help.
Lydia, out of love for your daughter, you co-signed, and as you know, and you've heard me explain over the years, co-signing is all the disadvantages of a loan with none of the advantages. And you're in a bit of a pickle now. I mean, you had near perfect credit, and now you are right at the line of subprime, and you don't want to refi this almost certainly when you took this out. It's in a great rate. You don't want to take the home over by you refiing into a new loan. You'll then go into a loan with the credit score you have. You're going to be in a loan that's going to carry a very high number, very high interest rate potentially. And you got all the closing costs. The best thing for you to do is to be added to the notification of monthly loan payments, where you can monitor the account or have access to signing into the account with the mortgage company so you can make sure that each monthly payment is made on time. Ignorance of whether your daughter's paying or not is not bliss. This is a mess. I mean, she's having a really hard time, obviously. My heart goes out to her and to you, having the car repossessed. The problems have continued. So your responsibility at this point needs to be to make sure that the payment is being made every month. If your daughter hadn't done so by whatever day of the month and you're monitoring the account online or getting notifications from the lender, you make the payment before that month goes delinquent. And you will rebuild your credit as the late pays go into the background. You're responsible for them anyway. So if she can't make it on time, you make the payment. You can do a side agreement with her that gets you, if you want it, additional equity. You said the house has enormous equity now. And so if there's a way till she stabilizes that you make sure the payments are made every month, since you got to make them regardless as a co-signer, that's the best thing than some kind of hocus pocus signing it over to you, refiing. You can't take yourself off the loan. The lender's not going to do that. So the best thing for you to do is stay in the game and monitor that game every single month. And if she can't make the payment, you've got to make the payment.
I know people are going to ask, so I'll just ask, what about her selling the house, getting the equity out, renting for a while to get back on her feet?
You could do that. I'm reading between the lines here. It reads like Lydia wants her daughter to have the stability of the house. I'm making a supposition based on what you read to me that Lydia wants her daughter to be able to do that, that the house can be part of her building blocks of getting new stability in her life. If things really, though, don't stabilize for your daughter, then yes, it would make sense to sell the house. You've created a lot of equity with what's happened with the market since you owned it. And it takes away the permanence of your daughter being able to live there. But if her life's just not easily getting together, selling the house would be an option. I didn't even mention it because she didn't ask about that. I didn't even want to open that up at this point.
Gary in Tennessee says, after experiencing the AT&T cell phone outage recently, it raises a question. If there is a total failure due to an attack on the satellites and electric grid, what would be the best way to communicate with family during this crisis? The AT&T outage may have been due to a software update this time. It does expose the vulnerability of our communication system.
So, Gary, it all depends how dark we want to get here. After the AT&T outage, and AT&T, by the way, it's so funny, only corporate America would come up with this. They're only compensating people $5 a person for not providing the service. $5. What a joke. Anyway, there were a lot of news stories about, hey, you know, it'd be really great if you went and got a landline. And then what we've heard from so many people, every time there's been any kind of foreign state actor kind of attack, is that you should have a shortwave radio system. And everybody should know how to use shortwave and communicate to your family that way, you know, being a ham radio operator. So that's like going way back in the technological cycle. And that's talking about real survivalist kind of stuff if things become really bad. The other possibility is internet phone calling. But again, if it's a foreign state actor, we're in a time of real disruption in the world, who says the internet isn't going to be taken out? So this was a fluky kind of thing at AT&T. AT&T says that they've determined this was not any kind of hack attack or anything like this. This was an internal problem. And yeah, we do face potential threats today from a variety of foreign state actors. The thing is, as far as you go with backups depends on how really worried you are about what could happen. And the thing that I've said, how many years have you heard me say, it's always a good idea because of natural or man-made disasters to have a supply of food, a non-perishable food, supply of water. We even have a supply of backup dog food that's non-perishable.
Of course, your dogs are precious.
Well, you know, Lane says, if there's a fire, she's saving them, not not me or any of our kids. So we know where her priorities are. So I mean, you get into this area, and you think about what are the things if something really, really bad happened, if you went into a really worrisome place in your mind. Take care of life's basics the most, more even than communication. But communication, if you really want to get into that, learning, getting a ham radio license is supposed to be the best possible thing to do.
Doris in Ohio says, Clark, what are your thoughts on having my money in a credit union that is not FDIC insured, but rather American Share Insurance and Excess Share Insurance?
So Doris, what those things are, federal insurance in a credit union is not FDIC. It's a different federal agency called NCUA. And the NCUA coverage is identical, mirrors exactly what FDIC does with $250,000 per account, all that stuff. There are a small number of credit unions in the United States that have chosen not to insure through the federal system. They are a specialized kind of credit union known as a state chartered credit union. And they, instead of paying the fees to be part of NCUA, pay a private company to insure your accounts. As I've said over the years, I'm not comfortable with that. I worry about how well they'll be able to backstop your money. And it's not a scam or anything like that. I just think that having with a financial institution, a bank or credit union, having the backing of the federal government is what would allow me to sleep at night. So I know I've read all the stuff that American Share publishes about how safe it is and all that. I'm sure they feel that it's very safe, but it's not the same is having the full backing of the federal government. So I'm not telling you to abandon your credit union for that. I'm just telling you how I feel about the federal coverage through NCUA versus having a private insurer back a credit union. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate the extreme variety of questions and things you bring to the table on our podcast. And remember what we're devoted to: you learning ways to save more, spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off.